The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
They were born under a purple morning sun in a nest of styrofoam and rags assembled by their mother in a tarmac wasteland against the back wall of a corrugated hardware store. The type of yellow land you see with the side of your eye between the retail parks where cars dump washing machines. Brother and sister conceived by two different fathers, a rare thing but still natural within the super fecund reproductive system of cats. That's one little piece. Another piece. Jupe Houlihan had been a fancy man to the women of Thurles in his time. They went arseways for his Greek squint and the streak of Kevin Costner's jaw under his teeth. He had a wardrobe pregnant with Ben Sherman shirts that glistened like a packet of fruit pastilles. Every weekend he'd pick a new colour and drape it over his shoulders, his television presenter shoulders, a hungry head of hair for eating tubs of Brill Cream. Positive brilliance, as far as I'm concerned, taken from a book, Topographica Hibernica, by Blind Boy Boat Club, who is almost like a one-man creative conglomerate, and he's on the line now. Blind Boy, good morning.
How are you, Pat? What's the crack? I loved hearing you read that there now.
The book is absolutely brilliant, and I've only come to it since it came out in paperback. I didn't see the original hardback edition. But you are a man of so many parts. You're so brilliantly creative in so many different spheres. Where did it all begin?
Thanks very much, Pat. I love creativity in all its forms, you know, whether it be writing or making music. I'm handy at drawing and painting as well. I just literally don't have enough time in the day to do it. Like, if I didn't have to sleep, I'd be a painter as well, you know. I'm just very lucky that way. If it's creative and I take my hand to it and I get passionate about it, then chances are I'll get good at it. It's an obsession, you know.
It's the way you see the world. I mean, in your book of short stories from which I just read those excerpts, you seem to come across the most extraordinary situations. A donkey with a little boy in charge selling Christmas trees on the side of the road, and kind of quiet, unspeakable cruelty being visited on the poor donkey.
Often what I do when I write, so anyone who's tried to do anything creative, what can stop people from creating something is the fear of failing. Like, a blank page is a terrifying thing. And what I do is I embrace failure. I literally try to fail. If I'm afraid of the blank page, what I'm afraid of is, you know, if my self-esteem and identity depends upon being a good artist, then failing becomes almost like a personal wound. It becomes something I'm terrified to do because it means I'm a bad person. So instead, the best way to beat that is just keep failing and keep failing. So when I write, sometimes I'll think of an absolutely ridiculous idea, like what you described there with the donkey. I was having writer's block for a couple of days. What am I going to write about? Will it be good? Will it be bad? And then it just came into my head, why not write a 10,000-word story about a man who tries to fit a donkey into a car? And when I say it like that, that's silly. It's playful. It's ridiculous. It's hard to fail when what you're doing is silly. But that act of choosing failure from the start, that allows me to be playful and enter a state of creative flow whereby I can actually achieve what I want to achieve.
But I'm sure there was a spark, something you saw that inspired that story. And equally...
Yeah, well, it's kind of half true. My art teacher, when I was a kid in school, I had an art teacher who was a very, very kind person to me. I found out I was autistic about 3 years ago, you know, so secondary school wasn't a very enjoyable place for me. And I used to keep getting kicked out of class. I wasn't able to sit still. I couldn't behave myself. So I'd get kicked out of class and I'd just be hanging around the corridors nearly all day in school. And I had an art teacher who was very kind. And this art teacher basically said, if you're going to kick him out of the class and he's just hanging around the corridors, just send him up to me in the art room, because when he's sitting down with his earphones on and he's drawing, then he's not interfering with anybody. So this teacher used to let me go to the back of his class while he was still teaching, and I just sit at the back of the class with headphones on and I draw. But this same teacher once told me a story about he rescued a donkey. He literally did that. Mm. He was driving his car and he saw a donkey getting beaten in Limerick City. And he came out of the car and went to the young lad that was beating the donkey and bought the donkey off him for a tenner. And then was like, oh no, I have a donkey on my hands. So he had to fit it into the back of his tiny hatchback and take it to a donkey sanctuary. So that memory came back to me when I wrote that story. And the reason that memory came back to me was, I suppose what it was is, like I said, when I used to be allowed to sit at the back of his classes as an autistic kid and draw and create and have fun, I felt safe. I felt really safe and happy. And I felt that same safety and happiness when I started to write that story. So that's probably why that memory came back, you know?
The other story from which I quoted was the family of cats. And all of us have seen feral cats wandering around the place. But you personify them for us. And it is the most poignant story that I've read in a long, long, long time.
Oh, thanks very much, Pat. So a theme of the book, Topographia Hibernica. First off, Topographia Hibernica, that phrase. There was a book written in the 11th century by a fella called Gerald of Wales. And Gerald was, I suppose, the first British colonizer. But before the Normans came to Ireland, they sent a dude called Gerald of Wales to write this book called Topographia Hibernica about the land of Ireland. And Gerald wrote this, a big load of fake news. It was a bit like when America and Britain were trying to justify invading Iraq, so they come up with this weapons of mass destruction stuff of which there was no basis. The Normans kind of did that with Ireland. They sent Gerald of Wales over and Gerald wrote this fantastic book that accused the Ireland of all sorts of blasphemy and also said that we weren't exploiting our land properly. And I took this as an inspiration for my book because I'm very interested in biodiversity collapse. And I see a correlation between colonization and biodiversity collapse. Often with colonization, you see the colonizer remove the language, the culture, the mythology, and the stories from the land. And then once that happens, the resources are extracted and exploited from the land. So I wanted to explore those two things in the book. And with that story about the cats, it's called The Pistols of the Dandelions. I'm very kind to cats. I feed stray cats. I adore cats. And what I found with this story was, why don't I write a 15,000 word story and it's about the life of cats who live behind a B&Q or a Woody's DIY in a retail park in Limerick. Something I see every single day. That space, you'd see it in Dublin too. Mm-hmm. Spaces around retail parks, brown land we call it, where nothing much is happening, but stray cats living there. And I wanted to go, what is the world like when I go right down to the life of a stray cat right now living behind a Woody's or a B&Q in Limerick in brown land? And when I took my eye to their level, to the cat's eye level, they're facing climate collapse. What those cats go through, they don't have a connection with land, their food resources, they don't exist. They can't find rats and mice because, you know, companies are coming in, killing the rats and the mice.
And they might eat a poisoned rat and therefore do themselves in.
All that type of stuff. So the cats that exist in any developed country now in brown land, they're like, it's our future. It's humanity's future. They're like climate refugees, you know? And that's when it's a post-apocalyptic vision, but cats are living that right now. So I really liked, it took about 6 weeks to write that story. And I lived from a cat's eye view for 6 weeks. Mm. You know, I really got down into it.
I mentioned you're busy with so many things and your podcasting is massively successful. You're one of the most successful podcasters in these parts. You take the podcast though on the road. You've had a show already and you'll have more shows in 2025.
Yeah, it's bigger outside of Ireland than it is in Ireland. I have a huge tour in Australia and New Zealand that's sold out. And the Brits absolutely love it. I have a massive tour up and down Britain. Like just like 4 months ago, I sold out Hammersmith Apollo, which is nearly 4,000 people in London. And it's not Irish people. It's It's British people, it's Australian people who are listening to the podcast. And it's just, I love it because, like, I consider my podcast to be a novel. Like, each week, I write 14,000 words a week. And that's what my podcast is. And I write it using audio software. So I write with my mouth for people to listen with their ears. And it's like a non-stop, continual novel that doesn't end. And I really enjoyed the experimentation of that, that I'm not bound by pages even. There's this new audio format called podcasting. Like I wouldn't have been able to do this 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like I can use audio software. I can edit my voice on audio software with the same precision that I can edit the written word on a word processor. And that technology is maybe only 10 years old.
Well, there's so many things that you've been up to. There was that documentary which looked at early religion and Christianity in Ireland. There was also the dramatization in film of one of your stories. Did you read about Erskine Foley? And of course, the ongoing podcast and now the podcast tour. Sorry we had such a short time with you, Blind Boy. Thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.